As we look at Luke chapter 23 this morning, Luke 22 and verses 63 to 71, Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 71, we see here that our salvation from sin, death, and hell, our entry into heaven, is entirely based on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not based on Abraham or Moses or Mary or Peter. It's based on Jesus Christ plus nothing. It's grounded on Jesus Christ alone, what he has done for us as our great prophet, priest, and king. But the Lord Jesus Christ has always been a controversial figure. And controversy has often surrounded great men and women. If you think, for example, of Karl Marx, who proved controversial for his Marxist political ideology. He advocated class conflict, the rise of the proletariat, the collapse of capitalism by way of revolution. It was controversial. He was controversial. Or even more controversial, Adolf Hitler, his dream of national socialism, which resulted in such a nightmare for so many in Europe. So there have always been men who've been controversial, and opinions that have generated debate, sometimes very heated debate. But what we see here this morning is something different with the Lord Jesus Christ, in that his teaching of loving your enemies or turning the other cheek is universally applauded by religious or non-religious alike. But unlike Marx or Hitler or any of the other influential world figures, it was not just what the Lord Jesus Christ said that caused controversy, but particularly, and it's what Luke focuses on here, it's who the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be. Claiming not just to be a good moral teacher, claiming not just to be an innovative religious leader, but claiming divinity, claiming to be God. That's what continues to provoke the contempt of atheists and the rage of Muslims. And we need to understand that this was also the case in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his own lifetime. And we see it as we come to the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke's gospel then. We see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, God the Son. It is God the Son who is making his way to the cross, Luke is telling us. And his glory is seen in virtually every verse. So if your sins are forgiven this morning, if you have peace with God, if you have an alien righteousness put to your account by faith, it is because you trust in Jesus Christ alone. And I hope, as Luke tells us then, of the dying love of the Saviour and his triumph over sin, death, and hell, that the Holy Spirit will awaken in our hearts a sense of wonder, love, and praise. And if you have never done so before, that you will entrust yourself, even today, to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour King. Luke has told us that during the night after his arrest, the Lord Jesus had no friends or supporters with him. Peter was out in the courtyard giving his best impression that he had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. The rest of the disciples were nowhere to be seen. Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in the verses we're looking at this morning, we see, first of all then, Jesus shamefully abused by the soldiers. Jesus shamefully abused by the soldiers. The men who were supposed to be guarding him, not treating him in this way, which was against Old Testament law. Yet Jesus was being shamefully abused, mocked, beaten by the soldiers guarding him. They mocked him for being a carpenter's son who claimed to be the Son of God. They mercilessly beat him. And then they blindfolded him. And as they continued to hit him, they asked him to prophesy. Prophesy who it was who had hit him. Who had hit him with this blow and that blow. Prophesy who is the one who struck you. And then, angered by his silence, they increased their filthy insults in many ways. But as a lamb before its shearer is dumb, so the Lord Jesus Christ did not open his mouth. He did not call down fire from heaven on them. He didn't call on a legion of angels to come and set him free. And he did not call on fire or angels because he loved people like you and me. And he had made up his mind that he was going to save you. He endures all this, Luke tells us, so that we might be delivered from all condemnation. No one had ever done the works that Jesus had done. But now he's in the hands of the most violent of men. He was the one who had fed thousands of men, women, and children with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Thousands of people until all their hunger was satisfied. But these men beat him up. The Lord Jesus Christ had raised people from the dead. But these soldiers still punched him. Jesus had wiped out diseases, all disease, in many villages in Galilee. But these men mocked him. He had power over the winds and the waves and the storm. But these soldiers mocked him. And there was no one to protect him. When he preached, people said, "Never a man spoke like this man. No one spoke like Jesus." But now he would not open his mouth to save himself. His life was one of purity and integrity and truth. Here is a man who had never told a lie. His relationship with women was blameless. Mothers could put their children in their arms, put their children in his arms, and he would bless them. And the mothers would know their children were safe. He lived a life of loving submission to his parents. The crowds flocked to hear him. But now he's in the hand of psychopaths. Men who would hammer nails through the hands and feet of young men without blinking an eyelid. So deeply does the Lord Jesus Christ love us that he endures all this. And he despises the shame. And we need to understand that the claim of Jesus that he was the Son of God, that was the claim that brought such contempt upon him. Men who mocked him and scorned him and beat him up. What Luke references is for us, this mocking and beating was in direct response to the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. The men who held Jesus in custody hated him because of who he claimed to be. They mocked him because of who he claimed to be. And they sought to humiliate him because of who he claimed to be. Now the Lord Jesus Christ knew every single one of those men like he knows every single one of us. He knew who hit him every single time. In fact, he even knew who was going to hit him before they knew it. And yet here we see the passive obedience of Jesus Christ. That he will not fight against the cross. His passive obedience, it's called. It's on tremendous display. He willingly bore it, in other words. Isaiah had said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And just to underline it, and just in case we miss it, we have the actual verdict of the real judge, because God, by the Holy Spirit, inspired Luke to write in verse 65, and many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. Blasphemously. These men were guilty of blasphemy, says Luke. Now, you cannot blaspheme an ordinary human being. It is God alone who can be blasphemed. So Luke is telling us something extraordinary here about Jesus Christ. He's saying these men blasphemed him. In other words, Luke is saying, here is Jesus, God the Son. He's asserting the deity of Jesus. If there was a man ever you would think would not be arrested, ever a man who would not be charged with any crime, a man who had never been named in the newspapers as a criminal. You'd think it would be Jesus, holy, harmless, undefiled. Yet here he is being beaten up and mocked and scorned by evil men. This is the last night that the Lord Jesus Christ spent on earth before the cross. And yet Luke says, look, see the man of sorrows, but he is God the Son. And he's going through this because of who he claimed to be, and he's going through it because of his love for people like you and me. Jesus shamefully abused by the soldiers. And then secondly, Jesus unjustly condemned by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest Jewish court. The elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes. Luke describes it in verse 66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led Jesus into their council. So the religious leaders were all there. The teachers of the law were all there. This was the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. This court was granted control by Rome over virtually all internal Jewish matters. It contained 70 men and a president. The president was the high priest. So the Lord Jesus was standing before the most powerful men in all of Israel. And you see what they're trying to get him to admit. Notice what they're asking him in verse 67. If you are the Christ, tell us. If you are the Messiah, tell us. They're saying, Jesus, are you claiming to be the Messiah? And Jesus was crystal clear. If I tell you, you will by no means believe, he says. You're not interested in the truth. In fact, if I told you the truth, says Jesus, you wouldn't believe the truth anyway. If you believed it was possible that I was the Messiah, you wouldn't be putting me on trial. But I'll tell you this, I am the Son of Man. And when he said that, it's as if the people went berserk. Their idea of a Messiah was a political or military revolutionary. A person would cause Israel to rise up, throw out the Roman occupying forces, take the throne of Israel. They were asking Jesus, is that you? That's the Messiah we want. Are you the Messiah? But you notice what Jesus says to them. Verse 68. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. If you're looking for a political or military revolutionary, Jesus says to them, that's not me. But I have a throne. I have a throne that stands over all human history. But my throne is not in Rome or Jerusalem or London. My throne is in the human heart. Jesus is saying that he commands the destiny of every man and woman. I'm the Son of God, the Son of Man. And when you see me next, I'll be seated with all the power of God at the right hand of God. This phrase, the Son of Man, that Jesus uses. The main Old Testament passage that Jesus is reminding them of here is the vision of Daniel in Daniel chapter 7. Let me read some verses to you from Daniel, the Old Testament book Daniel, chapter 7 and verses 9 to 14. Daniel has a vision and he says, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. The Ancient of Days is a description of Almighty God. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was opened. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now here's what Jesus describes himself as, the Son of Man. And the people to whom Jesus was speaking would have known of this vision of Daniel. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus is saying, I am the Son of Man. One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Coming with the clouds of heaven is ascribing to the Son of Man the glory of God. He came to the Ancient of Days. So there is a God in heaven, the Ancient of Days. But one comes to the Ancient of Days with all the glory of God, the Son of Man. And they brought him near before him, and to him, to the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Let me put what Jesus is saying to these people into those verses to you. Then to Jesus was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Jesus' dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the one which shall not be destroyed. So you see what Daniel is saying, and what Luke is saying. He's saying the Son of Man is not just an earthly, ordinary man. This is this one who has all the power and authority and attributes of God. The one who approaches the Ancients of Days and comes with all the attributes of deity. And Jesus is saying, I am that Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ was claiming to be the one whom Daniel saw. And Luke is telling us the religious authorities thought they were sitting in judgment on Jesus. But Jesus is saying that he rightly one day occupies the throne of heaven, and that one day he will be judge of all. And all must stand before him, and he's the final judge of the living and dead. By going to the cross, Jesus, as the Son of Man, will defeat the evil powers and those who stand in opposition to God. By dying for the sins of all who trust in him, he enables you to stand in the presence of God this morning without any fear of being condemned. But if you reject him, you reject Jesus Christ, then like these men in the Sanhedrin, you condemn yourself. So the same truth is being lived out this morning here in the church and with all who will hear this message. Those who strip Jesus Christ of his deity, those who reduce Jesus Christ to just one religious leader amongst many, those who trivialize the gospel, they store up condemnation for themselves, because Jesus will return to this world and judge it. So is Jesus claiming to be the Son of God, God the Son? Clearly he is, as he says, that he's the Son of Man. And in the days of Jesus, the Jews believed no one would sit in God's presence. To sit in God's presence was to make yourself equal in importance with God. So when Jesus spoke of himself as the Son of Man who would sit at the right hand of the power of God, that's the most prominent position in God's throne room. And the crowd went mad when they heard it. So Luke is also telling us that something dark and sinister and evil was happening at this trial. The way the trial had started, the way the proceedings were going, it was all completely illegal. You could not begin proceedings at night. It was against the Jewish law. You could not hold a trial outside the official court chambers. You couldn't hold a trial on the holy day because it was against Old Testament law. You couldn't charge someone with blasphemy without witnesses. And most importantly, you couldn't sentence someone to death without waiting a day for them to have the opportunity to defend themselves. So these Jewish leaders were breaking and violating all their own laws. But they hated this man so much they wanted him out of the way. This trial was a travesty of justice. But the charge against Jesus, what's happening is, it's the charge of Jesus claiming to be God, claiming to have the authority and glory and power of God. And no one in that room was willing to ask the question, what if it's true? What if it's true? What if he really is the King of Kings? What if he really is the Son of Man? What if he really is the Son of God? And I want to ask you this morning, who is King of your life? Because we need to be honest with that question. Honest before God and honest with ourselves. If you claim to trust in Jesus Christ and be his follower, I'm saying, does he have control over every area of your life? Is he your king? Or do you say this morning, well, there are some parts of my life. Or perhaps one day in seven on a Sunday morning, he can have control. But there are many areas where I don't want Jesus as my king. Have you really given all of your life to Jesus the King? Is Jesus Christ the King your only hope in life and death? Luke is telling us Jesus is the King who will judge. And just as he knew all these people before him on that day as he stood on trial, so he knows every single one of us this morning. And where you stand in relation to him, is Jesus your Saviour? Is he your King? Do you confess him? Son of Man, Son of God, my Saviour, my King. Jesus shamefully abused by the soldiers. Jesus unjustly condemned by the Sanhedrin. Then thirdly, Jesus clearly confirmed that he is the Son of God. That's what jumps off the pages in this text. The Lord Jesus Christ very clearly confirms that he is the Son of God. That's the claim that caused Jesus to be condemned. That's what caused Jesus to go to the cross. His claim to be equal with God. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. It's the massive story in this text this morning. But you see, it's a very important question then. Is Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God or not? What more crucial issue lies before you this morning? What more crucial issue lies before everyone in the world this morning? Have you ever thought about this? Thought about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you looked at his life? If you've never done so before, read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John's Gospel. Examine, look at the life of Jesus Christ. Have you examined what he said, what he did? Have you asked yourself, what manner of man is this? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he really the Son of God? Who is this virgin-born man? Who is this pure and holy and sinless person? Who is this preacher of the Sermon on the Mount? Who is this preacher who can declare words like this? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Who is that preacher? Who is that preacher of the Sermon on the Mount? Who is the one who told the parable of the prodigal son? Who is this person who healed every single sick person who was ever brought to him? Who is this one who, as he's nailed to the cross, prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Who is this man who called God his Father? And said that after his death and resurrection, he would return to his Father. And who added this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. See what Jesus is doing? Believe in me, he said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Who can speak such extraordinary words as these? And Luke is saying, isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this the Son of Man who will sit at the right hand of the power of God? Isn't this the Son of God? Hasn't the God who at various times and in various ways spoken in times past to the fathers by the prophets, spoken to us in these last days by his Son, Jesus Christ? Does not Jesus Christ have all the grace and love and authority and power of God? Does he not have all the perfections of God? Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? It's the Lord. It's the God of glory. Now, the accepted attitude of the world to Jesus Christ today, people will agree he was a great teacher or a healer. But there are those who say we, his followers, have exalted him, made a god of him. People sometimes say to me that Jesus wanted to be a good man and that's it, nothing more. But you read the Gospel of Luke, anyone who reads the New Testament honestly soon realizes that is not what we see when we hear the claims of Jesus himself. Luke's gospel is very clear. It presents a man to us who was absolutely clear about who he was, the Son of God, that if you build your life on him, your life will not collapse at the great day. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and judges the entire human race, those who build their lives on him, trust in him, rely on him, hope in him, their lives will stand on that great day. But there is no other rock on which you can stand and build your life. He will assign the eternal destiny of everyone based on how they are related to him. Heaven and hell. It depends on your relationship to Jesus Christ. He claims clearly to be the Son of God, God the Son. Now, all that is the background to our Lord's reply under oath to the question of the council of the elders before the people. If you are the Christ, tell us. They were thinking they'd soon be seeing him hanging on the cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ says they will one day see him as the King of heaven and earth. They'll see him as the Lord of the universe, seated at the right hand of Almighty God. They thought they were sitting in judgment on him. But Jesus says one day he would sit in judgment on them. Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And notice the absolutely confident answer. Jesus said to them, "You rightly say that I am." "Are you then the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "You rightly say that I am." So there is no doubt about it. Jesus unequivocally claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed to be equal with God, which leads us to Luke's conclusion in verse 71. And they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." And with that, they will lead him to Pilate and ask for his death. They heard Jesus claim to be equal with God, and they condemned him. That's all the evidence Luke brings. No evidence of sin in Jesus' life. No witnesses that he'd made false claims. No real evidence of any wrongdoing. From Luke's perspective, Jesus was condemned for one thing, and that was that he claimed to be the Son of God. But they would have all done well, and we all do well this morning, to ask ourselves the question, is he? Is he the Son of God? Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. They should have wondered why, and they should have asked, was he really the Son of God? Co-equal with God the Father in power, majesty, and authority. Did they know anyone else who could raise the dead? Did they know anyone else who could give sight to the blind? Did they know anyone else who could cleanse lepers? Did they know anyone else who could restore withered arms and legs? Did they know anyone else who could cast out demons with a word of power? Did they know anyone else who could command the sea and the winds and the waves? Did they know anyone else who could command the fish of the sea to gather on one side of a fishing boat? Why is Luke so adamant about the deity of Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. He is so adamant, he's so clear about it, because Jesus is going to go to the cross to bear the sin of all who will trust in him. And Luke is showing us only God the Son can bear such eternal wrath. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only God the Son, one who's fully man and fully God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, only he could bear eternal wrath. Only he could take that cup of damnation that was handed in to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had the foretaste of the cross. And only he could go to the cross and drink damnation dry. Only God the Son can atone for our sin. So Luke is describing for us, here is God the Son, standing before the Sanhedrin. And they rejected him, they scorned him, they mocked him, they wanted to kill him. But the challenge of Luke's gospel is the challenge of Jesus Christ's claim then, to be the Son of God, to be the one who made the universe. His claim to be the one who upholds the universe. His claim to be the one who will judge all men and women. That's Jesus' claim over you this morning. It's his claim that he made you. His claim that he is your rightful Lord and that he is your rightful God. And that you should trust and believe upon him and worship him. So the issue before us this morning is the truthfulness of these words of Jesus Christ. Will you say to me at the end of the service this morning, Jesus Christ was a liar? This indisputable fact here, he claims to be the Son of Man and the Son of God. And I'm saying to you, you must trust in him alone. Trust in him alone if you're to know the joy of forgiveness of sins and peace with God. If what Jesus Christ said is true, and every page of the Bible shouts at you, it's true, Jesus is who he claimed to be, then accept him, believe upon him, receive him as your Lord and Savior. I'm saying there's never going to be a more important question that you'll have to answer during your whole life. This is the question that will never go away. Is Jesus the Son of God? To me, this is a great reason for being a Christian. It's the reason I'm a Christian. It's because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And that only Jesus Christ, him alone, he has the right to the allegiance of every single human being. Here this morning, all who listen, everyone in London, everyone in the UK, everyone in the world, Jesus is the Son of God. Believe upon him. And a Christian is a man or woman who makes stupendous claims then on behalf of Jesus the Saviour. That every movement in the universe owns its energy and power from Jesus who reigns in heaven. That he holds the universe together by his powerful word. And one day he's going to come back. Not this time to a lowly manger, but in glory on the clouds of heaven. And on that day, he'll pull the universe apart, atom by atom. And he'll put it back together again. And there'll be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. And all the king's people, all who trust in Jesus, the Saviour King, will live and reign with him forever. But the Bible says we must all stand before him. And that eternal destiny will be based on your relationship to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you trust in Jesus Christ or do you reject him? The Bible says Jesus is the only God there is. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The whole glory of God is found in Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is then. A Christian believes in the greatness of Jesus Christ. A Christian believes in the unique grandeur of Jesus Christ. A Christian believes in the incomparable majesty of Jesus Christ. This is the Christ we will see one day if we believe upon him. Not on trial. Not wearing a crown of thorns. Not manacled and chained. Not despised and rejected. Not humiliated and scorned. But sitting at the right hand of the mighty God. The Saviour who died for our sins on the cross is now exalted high. He's the glorious one. And when he comes, says the Bible, those who believe upon him, when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So as we ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ, all that Luke describes here, why did he allow it all to happen? If he had power over demons, if he had power over disease, if he could bring the dead back to life again, surely he had the power to defend himself. Surely he could have secured his freedom. Why is Jesus standing there in this travesty of justice? Why is Jesus in this kangaroo court? And why is Jesus allowing all this to happen? And the answer of the Bible is, he's doing it for you. He took it all. This was God's plan. His son would suffer and die for our sins. He did it for you, the Bible is saying. The guilty verdict that Jesus took was actually our guilty verdict. We are guilty of sin. We deserve death. The death that Jesus Christ endured was on our behalf because the wages of sin is death. So the sinless God-man is going to have to die for our sins. So that's why Jesus stood there and took it. Though he was innocent, he was willing to bear a guilty verdict. Though he was the only sinless man who's ever lived. The Bible tells us he knew no sin. And yet he took it. He became sin for us. So that you could be counted as righteous when you stand before God. So Jesus did not call for a mistrial. Or he didn't put his power on display. And he didn't call down fire from heaven. He did it for our forgiveness and freedom. So every Sunday I stand before you. And I proclaim what the Bible says. This Jesus is the Son of God. And only this Jesus can provide forgiveness and freedom for you. And he was willing to take the guilty verdict. And he was willing to go to the cross on your behalf. So today, in a moment, we're going to pray. And if you have never found forgiveness and freedom by trusting in Jesus Christ before, you can pray. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Today, as we pray, you have an opportunity to do that and say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm going to entrust myself to him. And for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, if there's an area in your life you're holding back from Jesus Christ, it may be the Holy Spirit prompts you to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to have control over every area of life. So let's now come before God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we gladly confess this morning that you are the Son of God, the only Saviour from sin, the only one who could cleanse, forgive, and set us free. And Lord, for those who have never done so before, we thank you this is a gospel day, a day when a man, a woman, a young person, a boy or a girl can cry out to God and ask for forgiveness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, be merciful to me, cleanse me. Forgive me, make me new. And Lord, we thank you that anyone who comes honestly before you like that is never turned away. And Lord, we want to acknowledge Jesus Christ in every part of life as our only hope in life and death, as King in every area of life. So we gladly surrender our lives this morning to Jesus, the King of glory. And we see that he stood there and suffered such injustice it was for us. He, the sinless one, died that we, the guilty ones, might go free. He bore the guilty verdict for us. Such amazing love, such matchless condescension. It fills us with amazement and awe and thanksgiving and love. So in love and wonder and praise, we come before you this morning and lift up our hearts to Jesus, our Saviour King. Receive our praise. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn, that hymn that describes Jesus Christ as our hope, our only hope in life and death. And again, we're singing along to the recording. So as the music starts, we'll stand and sing.
Oh,
together. Now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to the only wise God, our Saviour, to Jesus Christ, our only hope in life and death, to him alone be glory, power, majesty, might and dominion, both now and even for evermore. Amen.